Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, but say hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the creator has allowed us to come before you another day, another night, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge. He's our lawgiver. And Yahweh is our only savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. I praise Almighty Yah once again for allowing me to come before you to bring to you his great, holy, and exalted words. Tonight we will be discussing understanding prophecy. It's important to understand prophecy. It's important to even know what prophecy is. The word prophecy comes from the Hebrew word naba, which simply means to speak, to bring forth. And Yahweh has brought forth a lot of things. The beginning, the future, and what we know currently today. All this is by the words of Yah, prophecy. But there's three keys to understanding prophecy. People don't know what this is, so I'm going to bring it to you tonight. And then we're going to share with you how you must know to understand prophecy, these things you got to know. For example, if you turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, the beginning of this week, we start off talking about doctrine. The doctrine of race, ethnicity, and nationality. And why? Because too many of our people are caught up in race, ethnicity, and nationality, where Yahweh is only caught up in righteousness, irregardless of who you are, what you are, where you are. Yahweh is looking for righteousness. So it is our duty as Yahweh servants to tell you the truth so that you can understand, so that you can know what you need to concern yourself with. All these vain questions about who can be saved. The question is, can you be saved? And what will save you? Then we went to let our people know about, after we discussed doctrine, then we began to go into the greatest story ever told. Now, people know the story. People have read the story. People have seen movies about the story, videos about the story. But little do people know, the very people the story is about, they have no clue that this story is about them. As a result, all the story is but a movie. It's just a video. It's just a story in a book that has no purpose, that has no meaning, that has no relevance whatsoever. And we wanted you to know this story has great meaning. So great, it's the greatest story ever told. And what is the story about? The story is about you and I, our people, says Yahweh. And tonight, which is still speaking about those very two things, understanding prophecy, this is not deviating at all. Because to understand doctrine, to understand this story, you must understand prophecy. And watch what the scriptures say about understanding the Creator's word. Watch what this says. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, the very first verse, it says, to everything there is a season. To how many things? Everything. There's a season. How can you understand anything and you don't even know to everything there's a season? You got to know that. Then how can you know everything and you don't know everything there's a season? And watch what it secondly tell you. Any time to every purpose under the heaven. So not only you must know season, you must also know time. And to know time, you must know purpose. But if you know the time, you'll know the purpose. And if you know the season, you will know the time. And our people don't know season, time, or purpose. And as a result of knowing season, time, and purpose, then prophecy becomes very difficult than to know. Many of the prophecies in the scriptures, our people go by other people. They don't go by thus says Yahweh. With the exception of that we are the people, that prophecy they got right. But when it comes to time and judgment, even Yahweh said our people don't know. Watch what the Creator said in the book of Jeremiah, the 8th chapter. What Yahweh said. And is Yahweh a lie? No, Yahweh is no lie at all. Watch what the scriptures say. Watch what Yahweh says in the book of Jeremiah, the 8th chapter. And what are we discussing? Understanding prophecy. And there is no understanding of prophecy without knowing season, time, and purpose. Watch what the scriptures say. Seven verse. It says, yes, the stork in the heaven knows her seasons. The word season comes from the Hebrew word moada, which means appointed times. So really what it says, yes, the stork in the heaven knows her seasons. Well, why don't we know season? If a stork knows season, then why in the world is our problem? Watch what it says. And the turtle, crane, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. Now, here it is. Not only do they know season, but a crane, a turtle, a swallow, they even know time. And why don't we know time? But my people, No, not the judgment of Yahweh. And what is Yahweh's judgment? Yahweh's judgment is his purpose. Is his purpose. How do you say we are wise? And the law of Yahweh is with us. Lo, certainly in vain may he hit the pen of the scribes. It's in vain. Most people who don't understand the word of Yahweh will really actually believe that the scribes wrote this in vain. They didn't write this in vain, but they might as well wrote it in vain because nobody understand it. And why don't they understand it? Because of season, time, and purpose. But make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters, this is not in vain. Everything Yahweh has said, everything Yahweh said will happen, everything Yahweh has said has happened, come to pass. And there's nothing that Yahweh has said that didn't go forth. Understanding prophecy. And our people like to quote this in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let us turn back to Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. They like to quote it, but little do they don't know what it means. They just quoting something, but they won't explain it. They don't understand it for real. And watch what it says. Ecclesiastes, third chapter, at the 14th verse. And I know a lot of people think when I come up here and teach, they will have you believe, they would think, man, he just bash our people. Well, I'm sure they would think that if they don't know the word of Yah, they would think I'm just talking about people and bashing our people and getting on the leaders and the teachers. Then you have foreigners out there think I'm getting on them. And everybody think that. And the truth is, there's only one that's getting on our people and getting on the world and getting on the foreigners and getting on everybody, and that's Yahweh. And if you turn your mind to Yahweh, you understand everything I'm saying, because I'm telling you what thus says Yahweh. And watch what he says here. 40 verse. I know that whatever Elohim does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And Elohim does it, that men shall fear before him. That's why he do it. He wants your fear. He wants your greatest honor towards him. That which has been is now. There's a lot of things that's already been. But Yahweh is saying that's what's now. Now do you understand it? And that which is to be, it ain't came yet. Has already been. You don't think it came, but it already done been here. And Elohim requires that which is past. So what is this teaching us? What is this letting us know? Well, what is letting us know, and what Yahweh wants you to understand, is that he don't change. He don't change for no one or nothing. He don't change. And once you begin to understand how Yahweh operates, what Yahweh will do. And Yahweh wants you to understand how he operates and what he will do. Because the little that we know about Yahweh, Yahweh tell us. It is too much for us to know about Yahweh, for us to try to figure out on our own. So he would just have to tell us. And he's telling us that he don't change. So what's now? If we want to understand it, we must look in the past. And what shall be have already been. So let's look at what's now. And then we'll know the future. Because Yahweh required that which is past. And to understand this, we must know season. We must know time. And we must know purpose. For example, right now, we're the only people that I know of. And it might be somebody else. I don't know. But I know we're the only congregation that's teaching people Yahweh's Sabbaths of years. Maybe somebody else doing it. And forgive me if they are. I don't know them. And I would love to know them. And I would love to speak to those who speak in the word of Yahweh. And they're telling our people the truth about Yahweh's Sabbaths of years. And what is Yahweh's Sabbaths of years? These Sabbaths of years, Yahweh had 7 different years. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And these Sabbaths of years, Yahweh said you were to number 7 of them, which would be 49 years. Then the 50th year, we were hollow. But we did this recycling over and over again because these are Yahweh's Sabbaths of years. This is what he called it, according to the book of Leviticus, the 25th chapter, the 8th verse. He called them the Sabbaths of years. And why aren't our people talking about that? And how can you understand prophecy without understanding Yahweh's Sabbaths of years? His Sabbaths of years are season, time, and purpose. And when you begin to understand things, certain prophecies become very clear. For example, in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, we got some teachers going around saying, no, our people don't know Yahweh years. Well, undoubtedly, they hadn't talked to me. And undoubtedly, they don't listen to me. And I defy anybody, any teacher, anyone, to say these are not Yahweh's Sabbaths of years that I'm speaking of. Watch what it says in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter. This is what the Creator said will happen in the end of time. Starting at the 8th verse. There's a vision. And one came to Daniel. And this is what Daniel said. 8th verse. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my master, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. The end of what? At some point in time, we got to know what the end is. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly. In other words, the wicked ain't going to change nothing. They don't care if it's the beginning, the middle, or the end. They're not going to change at all. And none of the wicked shall understand. And that's why they're going to change nothing. Because they're not going to understand anyway. But the wise, they shall understand these things. They're going to understand, well, we at the end. They're going to understand those words that was closed up are now opened up for us to understand it. And watch what it says. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. And I may add, they just inserted the word sacrifice. They just inserted that to make you think, okay, this was the daily sacrifice that our people do morning and evening. But whatever this is, and from that time the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up. What is this abomination that Yahweh has set up? There shall be 1,290 days. Well, first of all, even while you searching out what this abomination is, and I know what the abomination is, but you still got to know what 1,290 days. And this is not talking about no centuries. This is not talking about no 2,000 years, as a lot of people want you to understand. No, this is talking about the time of the end. And all you got to do is know what a year is, know what a day is, know what a month is, and you'll know what's 1,290 days. And I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's 3 years and 6 months. That's what it is. And how do I know that? Because there's only 360 days in a year. And you multiply 360 times 3, that's 1,080. And what do you have left after you have 1,080? 180 days left. And what is 180 days? 6 complete months. 3 years and 6 months. Now, why is that relevant? Why is that relevant? Because Daniel is talking about the end time. He's not talking about the end time when our people was taken out of the land. Because they was already out of the land. When Daniel seen this vision, they were in Babylon. He wasn't talking about the time where Babylon would come to an end. And it will be said, no, this prophecy is talking about the end times. And what is the end times? Our time. That's the end time. This whole chapter talked about when our people shall be delivered. And Daniel, the first chapter. Watch what it says. Daniel, the 12th chapter, the very first verse. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who stands for the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered. Delivered from what? Everyone that shall be found written in the book. This is talking about the end times. And there was an abomination that our people don't even know of that was set up by Yahweh. And I'll tell you what that abomination was. And I'll tell you what these 3 years and 6 months, what they have to do with. But watch the 12th verse. Blessed is he that waits to come to the 1,335 days. So now that's 1,335 days. Now, you would want to know what this is, because it says, blessed is he that waits for this time. And this also is talking about the end time. And let you know it's talking about the end time. It says, but go you your way till the end is, because this is the end. For you shall rest and stand in your lot at the end of the days. So this is talking about the end. We're at the end, brothers and sisters. even though most people don't like it, even though there's no urgency in the world, and in particularly by Israel. There's no sense of urgency. There's nothing that people are doing to demonstrate, to show, to actively understand we're at the end. And that's okay. Because whether you do something or not, you're going to see that we're at the end. And let me tell y'all this. What has been more abominable that's been set up daily more than this man called Donald Trump? This man not only has defied the laws, commandments, and statutes and judgments of the Most High. Now, you might ask how he wasn't even given the law. But this is the only man that I ever heard in all my life that said he never had to apologize for anything. And he never asked for forgiveness for his own sin. Because he never had to apologize for anything. What kind of man is that? As a matter of fact, he just gave a speech, the State of the Union. And he said America would never apologize for nothing here. Because the past presidents did apologize for certain things. But not him. This is a total abomination to Yahweh. Because number one abomination to Yahweh is a pride look. That's number one. And if you don't believe me, just read Proverbs 6:16. And you'll see that's number one. A proud look. And this is what this man has. A proud look. Not only he has no regard for Yahweh laws, he doesn't even have regard for the laws of the land. And he has no regard for any covenant, any treaty, anything that he himself has made or his predecessors have done. He don't have no regard for laws, period. And what did Yahweh say? Yahweh say when he returned, well, let me show you this. Then we'll go back to this Daniel in the book of Isaiah, the 24th chapter. Watch what this says to show you the issue that Yahweh has with the earth. And watch what it says. Fifth verse. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. Who's the inhabitants of the earth? Well, the people who rule it, the people who live in it. And watch what it says, because they have transgressed the laws. And what do you think is being done? Changed the ordinance. And who you think doing that? And broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore has the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. And that's exactly what will happen. And who do you think ruling the earth today? Who do you think the so-called powers are today? And who do you think Yahweh is coming back for first? Yes, the leaders and the rulers. I may add, when Donald Trump took office and was sworn in January the 20th in 2017, ask yourself, what is 3 years in 6 months from that time. Since 1,290 days is 3 years and 6 months, what do you think? What date do you think we will come to? Well, let me tell you, so you won't hurt your head trying to do the math. 2018 is 1 year. 2019 of January is 2 years. And 2020 of January is 3 years. And 6 months from January the 20th, August 20th, you do the math, of 2020. And furthermore, the scripture says, blessed is he that come to the 1,335th day. The difference between 1,290 and 1,335 is 45. And what do they call this president? Yeah, 45. You must understand season, time, and purpose to understand prophecy. You do the math. And what year are we in now? We're in the second year. But our people don't know their years. They don't know them. So as a result of not knowing their years, when something occurred, when something happened, they don't know if this thing has happened before because they don't know the years. So, for example, in the book of Daniel, the second chapter, turn there, because you got to know season, time, and purpose. Daniel, the second chapter. And not only are we in our second year, but we're in the 11th month of our second year. But watch what it says, Daniel, the second chapter. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams with which his spirit was troubled and his sleep broke from him. Now, this is the second year of Nebuchadnezzar. You notice when we read about these dreams, when we seen a lot of these visions, all you got to do is read the book of Haggai. All you got to do is read the book of Zechariah. All you got to do is read the book of Micah. All you got to do is read the book of Obadiah. All you got to do is read the book of Ezekiel. What do all these visions and dreams that they talk about and they're seeing, what do they all have in common with one another? Well, let me tell you. They all in captivity. They always in somebody else's land. Why? Why are these prophecies coming while people are in another man's land? These visions and dreams. And you're going to see why. But Daniel, the second chapter, this was the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. And if you know the story, the prophecy, the season, the time when Nebuchadnezzar took rule of our people, it was the fourth year of Jehoiakim. And you'll read this in the book of Jeremiah, the 25th chapter. 24th and 25th chapter. But our fourth year was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. But this is the second year of Nebuchadnezzar. And why is this important? Because right now, not only are we in the second year of Yah's Sabbath of years, but we also in the second year, the second presidency of Donald Trump, 4-year tenure. We're in the second year. And watch what it says. What did this dream, what did this vision amount to? Because that's the point. The point is there's nothing new under the sun. And what was this vision and dream that Nebuchadnezzar had during the time of Daniel? We read in Daniel the 12th chapter when the angel showed up to him to give him understanding, it was talking about the end time. What was Daniel the second chapter talking about in the 36th verse? Because we're getting right to the dream, the vision. This is the dream, Daniel 2 and 36. And we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. You, O king, are king of kings. For the Elohim of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven has he given into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. And after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to you, and another, third kingdom of brass, which shall be rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdue all things, iron that breaks all these shall break in peace and bruise. And whereas you saw the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as you saw the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong, partly broken. And whereas you saw iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. They shall not cling one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now, what do all this mean? Now, people should understand this one thing. Yahweh has already, he's only prophesied 4 superpowers, 4 different kingdoms on the earth. And what kingdom do you think we're under today? Well, you're right, brothers and sisters. The fourth. And watch what it says. 44th verse. And in the days of these kings, watch what it says. Shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. What is this kingdom if it's not talking about the end times? It's only going to be 4 different kingdoms, and we in that fourth kingdom. Why you think Daniel said there will be 1,290 days and abominations is going to be set up daily from that time? And blessed is he that comes to 1,335th day. Why? Because that kingdom, that beast, shall be destroyed. And Yahweh's kingdom that he will set up shall never be destroyed. And it won't be set up until after the 1,290 days. And watch the 45th verse. For as much as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Elohim has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. In other words, make no mistake about it. This is going down. This is of a truth. This is a fact. And we in that time today. We in that fourth kingdom today. Which could only mean this is the end of times. In the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter, watch what it says. The 23rd verse. Thus he said, fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of the kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first and shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. Now, who is doing that today? And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And listen, that time is coming to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until times, and a dividing of time. The greatest criticism everybody have of this beast that's in office today is that he's changing all the times and the laws. He don't respect no law, no treaty, no covenant. He don't even respect the FBI, the CIA, the Justice Department, or any intelligent organization that he is over. And why? Who do you think was set up to change the time? But watch the 26th verse. And look, I may add, this is a time and times and a dividing. Well, how long do you think that is? I know most of you all don't know, but I'm here to tell you, 1,290 days. That's what that is. And watch what it says. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. To here is the end of the matter. And as for me, Daniel, my cogitations, my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart, as Yahweh wants you to do. We're in the second year. Things, these visions, these dreams, just like during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, are coming to pass as Yahweh said they would. But he's not the only one to hear visions and dreams. As I told you before, when you begin to start seeing these things, there's nothing new under the sun. If you know season, time, and purpose, then you'll know why things are happening as they're happening today. For example, if you go to the book of Genesis 41, that was Nebuchadnezzar and his dream and his vision. When? In the second year of his reign. Well, what about this vision and dream? Genesis 41, the very first verse. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. In other words, the second year. We're at the end of the second year. Where do you think we're at now? We're at the end of the second year. That Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. But I'm not going to bore you with all that he dreamed. We're going to get right to the interpretation of the dream, because I want you to understand what these visions and dreams are all about. And we're going to get right to it. The 25th verse. Since this came at the end of 2 years, or the end of the second year, watch what it says. And Yosef said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. Elohim has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. In other words, just like Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel said, look, Yahweh is about to show you what he's about to do. And what Yahweh will show has everything to do with our people. Why do you think this is the greatest story ever told? Watch what it says. The seven good cows are 7 years. The seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. The seven thin and ill-favored cows that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I've spoken to Pharaoh. What Elohim is about to do, he shows Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that, the dream was doubled to Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by Elohim, and Elohim will surely bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come. And lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh. And let them keep food in the city. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt. And that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this? He is a man of whom the spirit of Elohim is. And Pharaoh said to Yosef, for as much as Elohim has shown you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your word, shall all my people be ruled. Only enthroned will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Yosef, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And why was this so great and so important to our people? because it taught them season, time, and purpose. Watch what it says in Genesis 45. Because it started in the second year when he had this dream. At the end of 2 years. And then the third year started the 7 years of plenty. Then in the third year began the 7 years of famine. But something happened in that second year of the famine, which was the fourth year of Yah's Sabbath of years. And let me show you what happened in Genesis 45. The very first verse. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him. And he cries, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said to his brother, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brothers could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said to his brother, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here. For Elohim did send me before you to preserve life. Now, watch the sixth verse. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land. So this is the second year of the famine, which is the fourth year of Yah's Sabbath of years. And they're in Egypt. And yet, there are 5 years in which there shall neither be plowing nor harvest. And Elohim sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. When? The second year of the famine. And to save your lives by a great deliverance. And when did he do that? The second year of the famine. When did Nebuchadnezzar have his dream? Talking about the end time. The second year of drain. So now it was not you that sent me here, but Elohim, and has made me a father to Pharaoh, master of all this house, ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste you, and go up to my father and say to him, thus is your son yourself. Elohim has made me master of all Egypt. Come down unto me. Wait not. And you shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children and your children, your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. And watch this 11th verse. And there will I nourish you, for yet there are 5 years of famine. In other words, there's 5 years left, because we are in the second year of the famine. And why is that important? Because Yahweh don't change. If you already knew what Yahweh would do in the second year, then you'll know what he did in this year. What year do you think everybody started talking about the 400 year commencement of our people? Yeah, this year, early this year. In 20, where it started. We're in 2019 now, but it started at the beginning of the second year. Right at the end of the first year, right when the second year was coming in. When it was signed into law. When did they move the embassy? Which they said they would never do unless they had a deal between the Palestinians in the state of Israel, they moved the embassy to Jerusalem and put the flag there in the second year. And here, what do we have? In the second year, our people will walk down into Egypt. 11th verse, and there will I nourish you. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. And you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that you have seen. And you shall haste and bring down my father here. And of course, this is exactly what they did. And that second year of the famine, which was the fourth year of Yahweh's Sabbath of years, 430 years later, our people came out of Egypt, which was the first year of Yah's Sabbath of years. Because this is what Yahweh would do. There's nothing new under the sun. Watch this. In the book of Genesis, the sixth chapter, because the people have been listening to us talking about Yahweh's Sabbath of years, they will know what Yahweh would do in a second. Watch Yahweh said in Genesis, the sixth chapter, the very first verse. And it came to pass, men began to multiply on the earth. Daughters was born to them, that the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And Yahweh said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and after, and also after that, when the sons of Elohim came unto the daughters of men, they bore children to them. The same became mighty men, which are of old, men of renown. And Yahweh saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented Yahweh that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. And Yahweh said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, fowls of the air, for it repents me that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with Elohim. Now, why would Yahweh decide to do this during the time of Noah? If you want to know when Yahweh actually began to destroy the earth by flood, watch what it says in the book of Genesis, the seventh chapter. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. And why was it the second month? Since we're in the second year, because that's what Yahweh would do in the second. Just like the children of Israel walked down in Egypt in the second year of the famine. Just like Pharaoh will have his dream at the end of the second year. Just like Nebuchadnezzar in his second year, he will dream about the end of time. And here we got Noah. And what's so special about Noah? We're in the second month. And why would Yahweh say the second month? Because he wanted you to know that this was the second. He wanted to be emphatic about the time he would do this thing. But not only was it the second month, in the book of Genesis, the fifth chapter, Yahweh wants you to know this also. In the book of Genesis, the fifth chapter, and watch what it says. The first verse. This is the book of the generations of Adam. So if you want to know the generations of Adam, you got to read Genesis, the fifth chapter. In the day that Elohim created man, in the likeness of Elohim, he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. In the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. So the first generation after Adam was Seth. But then Seth had a son. In the sixth verse. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. Because Enos was the second generation. Adam. And then ironic and unique and beautiful thing about the generation of Enos, watch what it says in Genesis, the fourth chapter, the 26th verse. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of Yahweh. Wouldn't you want to know when men began to call upon the name of Yahweh? Yes. During the time of Enos. And when was that? The second generation after Adam. Going back to Genesis, the fifth chapter. Enos had a son in the ninth verse. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan, which was the third generation after Adam. But then Canaan will have a son also in the 12th verse. And Canaan lived 7 years and begot Mahalaleel, which is the fourth generation after Adam. And what do Mahalaleel means? Elohim is my praise. Or praise Elohim. That's what it means. Because the fourth represents Yahweh's praise. But Mahalaleel will also have a son in the 15th verse. And Mahalaleel lived 65 years and begot Jared, which was the fifth generation after Adam. But he also have a son in the 18th verse. And Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch, my brothers and sisters, was the sixth generation after Adam. But then Enoch will have a child. He will have a son in the 21st verse. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Methuselah was the seventh generation after Adam. And I may add, Methuselah was the oldest living man in the scriptures. Seventh generation. But Methuselah also will have a son in the 25th verse. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech, which was the eighth generation after Adam. But then something unique, peculiar happened. Lamech will have a son. 28 verse. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which Yahweh has cursed." But what is so peculiar and unique about the ninth generation? Well, little do people know, if they knew Sabbaths of years, that the ninth generation is the order of two. It's only seven different years. So after seven, you start all over. So eight got to be one, and nine has to be two. So really, this ninth generation really is the second. Because nine is the order of two. No wonder this was a special generation. Because in this generation, men began to call upon the name of Yahweh. But then, once again in this generation, Yahweh will comfort the earth and took away the curse of the earth because the ground which he had cursed. When? In this ninth generation, which is the order of two. Now do you see why you must know your season, your time, and purpose? Because there's nothing new under the sun. But watch this. Because someone else will be born. Because Noah had three sons, and they names were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And watch what it says in the book of Genesis, the 11th chapter. Now, you can't read this about the sons of Ham. You can't read what I'm about to read to you about the sons of Japheth. You only can read this about the sons of Shem. And what is that? The years they were born. And watch what it says in Genesis, the 11th chapter, the 10th verse. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begot a fox eye 2 years after the flood. So he was 102 years old and he begot a fox eye. But then a fox eye will have a son. Because a fox eye is the first generation after Shem. This was his first son. But watch the 12th verse. And a fox eye lived 530 years and begot Salah. And Salah will be the second generation to Shem. But then Salah will have a son. In the 14th verse, and Salah lived 30 years and begot Eber. And of course, if you don't know nothing about Eber, this is where you even get the word Hebrew. From this word. But this is the third generation after Shem. But Eber will also have a son in the 16th verse. And Eber lived 430 years and begot Peleg, which was the fourth generation after Shem. But Peleg would also have a son in the 18th verse. And Peleg lived 30 years and begot Reu, which was the fifth generation after Shem. But he would also have a son. In the 20th verse, and Reu lived 230 years and begot Serug. And Serug will be the sixth generation after Shem. But Serug will also have a son in the 22nd verse. And Serug lived 30 years and beget Nahor, the seventh generation after Shem, Nahor. But Nahor will have a son in the 24th verse. And Nahor lived 929 years and begot Terah, the eighth generation after Shem. Now you see why we got the no season, time, or purpose? Because watch who will become the ninth generation after Shem. And you're going to read it for yourself in the 26th verse. Now Terah, which was the eighth generation, lived 70 years and got Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begot Lot. So the ninth generation after Shem was born. And what did we say the ninth generation was? What is the ninth? The ninth is the order of two. It's the order of two. Now, why is that important? Because that ninth generation, we meet a man named Abram. And what did Yahweh say to this man Abram in the ninth generation, which is the order of two? And all we've been talking about is the second. And watch what he said in Genesis, the 15th chapter. I may add. Well, let me read it. In the book of Genesis 15, after these things, the word of Yahweh came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceedingly reward." Brothers and sisters, are you seeing what I'm seeing? That in this ninth generation, the generation of Abram, which is the order of two, and we've been talking about visions and dreams, well, little do people know, this is the very first time the scriptures even mentions anyone in the whole entire book having a vision. This is the very first time in the whole entire book anyone that the scriptures mentions a dream. As a matter of fact, this is the very first time the scriptures even mention that the word of Yahweh came to anyone in the whole entire book. Yes, to Abram, the ninth generation, which is the order of two. And I may add, this is the first one, the first person in the whole entire scriptures where anyone was called a prophet. First man. And the first man in the whole entire scripture was told to pray for anybody. Yes, this ninth generation. Yes, this order of two. when men began to call upon the name of Yahweh. But what would this vision and dream be about? Nebuchadnezzar was about the end of time. Pharaoh was also about the famine and our people going into this land. And now Yahweh will visit them. But what would this vision and dream be about? Watch what it says. And Abram says, second verse, Yahweh, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me you have given no seed. And look, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of Yahweh came to him, saying, this shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be thy, your heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if you are able to number them. He said to him, so shall your seed be. And he believed in Yahweh, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said to him, I am Yahweh that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Yahweh, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove of a young pigeon. We're going to get into the third, because we're in the second year, going into the third year. And he took to him all these and divided them in the middle, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. Watch this vision. Watch this dream. In this ninth generation, which is the order of two, he said to Abram, know for certain that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that's not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them for 100 years. 400 years. So when did this vision come? When did he receive this dream? Was it not in the ninth generation? Yes, it was. Which is the order? And how do we know this vision? This dream is talking about the end of time. Just like Nebuchadnezzar's dream and vision was talking about the end of time. What other time has a people been in a land that is not theirs, and they literally actually began to number it, count it, and it was 400 years? There has been no other time. And when did our people begin to learn that they was even going to commemorate the 400 years anniversary of our enslavement, our captivity, of getting off these boats, shackled and chained? Well, they began to learn it in the second year. And what year was that? The second year of President Trump's presidency. That's when you begin to learn all these truths and why. Because Yahweh purposed it. Why? It is time. And why? Because this is the season that Yahweh will open up the books for you to know the truth. Now, you just can't go and ask anybody, is this the truth? Because the wicked ain't going to understand it. The scripture said the wicked going to do wickedly. But the wise, season, time, and purpose is essential for you to understand prophecy. And we at that season. We at that time. And it is purpose for now. But you don't have to believe what I'm saying, nor do you have to believe the word of Yahweh. Because you can rest assured that what Yahweh said will come to pass. And we'll see. Whether you prepared or not. Whether we're telling you the truth or not. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you. And so do I. Shalom.
Mercy and his love and kindness, 'cause I know that I ain't worthy.